Hi, this is Larry London, and we welcome you to a very special edition of Border Crossings. Today, I am joined by a music superstar, and I don't get to say that often, but this particular guest is definitely an icon, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame. We welcome the founding member of one of everybody's favorite bands all around the world, Neil Sean from Journey. Welcome, Neil.
How you doing, Larry?
I am great. It's great to have you on the show. Where are we talking right now? I see a home studio, the Platinum Records. Where are you?
This is just my little office workspace with a computer crammed in it now. You know, we're at home, and you know, I work downstairs. I got a little studio down there that I write in. Mm-hmm.
You still live in San Francisco?
North of San Francisco, Marin County.
Wow. Well, this whole thing began for you, I guess, you know, you were 10 when you picked up the guitar for the first time, I read, you know, and you have parents who are big band musicians who kind of inspired you to choose a musical path.
And, you know, I started messing around with the piano when I was very young. Never really took any lessons, never really connected totally with it. And then he started teaching me woodwind instruments, and I played woodwind instruments for a few years until I discovered the twang of the guitar, you know. And it was really probably the Beatles, when I heard the Beatles, you know, first. And I heard that sound, I was like, wow, what is that? I kind of want to know about that.
Wow. And then, of course, along comes Bad English, Santana, you know, and then even Eric Clapton calls you and says, come and join Derek and the Dominoes. And you say, nah, I'm not, you know, I pick Santana over that.
I was playing around in the Bay Area with a local group that was pretty big at the time. First real band that I was in. They were much older guys, and they were pretty known in San Mateo down in the peninsula, and I was playing in a club down there. And the bass player, his nickname was 9 Year, his real name, Bob Woodridge, knew Greg Raleigh and Michael Shreve from Santana Band. And so he invited them down to come check us out. And I guess they had heard, he told them about me, and I was a kid at the time, you know, 15, I guess. And illegally in the club. And the club owners were really cool to let me play, and I had to get in and out, you know. On this one particular night, you know, we played down at a club in the peninsula in Palo Alto called the Poppycock. And they came. And after, you know, the set was over, the club owner agreed to close down the club after everybody left. And we hung out to the wee hours of the morning jamming. And that became the beginning of my relationship with Greg Raleigh and Michael Shreve. And then soon after that, the rest of the Santana band. There was, you know, a duration. We did Santana 3 album, which was an exciting album for me as my first professional album to ever play on. And I got featured on it quite a lot, you know. On any more, they've repackaged us so many times. So people that know my playing can differentiate who is Carlos and who is me on that album. But, you know, I got featured actually on the song that went to be like number one, Everybody's Everything, that featured Tower of Power. Mm-hmm. That particular song, Carlos was playing bass at the time in the studio. And then he went back and he played rhythm. And they said, you go play lead, you know, after they cut the track. And so I just went out, and the Tower of Power guys, I remember they were in the studio with us at Columbia Records on Folsom Street in San Francisco. And I went out, and I just kind of wailed a wah-wah solo like I'd practiced for many years. I used a wah-wah back in those days not to go wah, 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 like many people did, or like wasn't in a funky type way like Curtis Mayfield did, or, you know, many of the R&B artists. I kind of used it as a filter to cut through the track, because in Santana, there was a lot going on. You know, you had Chipito Arraez on timbales, who was like a storm all into himself, you know. And you had, you know, Michael Shreve on drums and Michael Caraballo on congas. And that rhythm section was just, you know, unstoppable. Once it got going, and it made quite a racket. And so to be even, to have a slot in there after you put organ and Carlos and David Brown on it, you know, man, you had to like really, I had to like kind of tailor my sound to fit into that to even find a slot. And that's what I did. And Herbie Herbert approached me and he said, you know, I'm going to start a management company. I want to be a manager. And I got another partner I'm going to do. And I have an office that we built upstairs of Studio Instrument Rentals. It was right across the street in San Francisco from Columbia Records. And I was in Studio Instrument Rentals. And so I went up there and we sat down and talked. And he says, I want to manage you. And I'd like to wrap a band around your guitar playing. And so at that time, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I said, great, you know, let's go. And that was the beginning of what ended up being Journey, you know.
Were they called the Golden Gate Rhythm Section at that time? Is that what you
We made? Did in the very beginning. We didn't know quite what we were going to do. You know, Herbie had introduced me to all the different individuals that ended up being in the band. And we went in the studio and started creating music. And then, you know, later decided that we're going to try to get a record deal here and become Journey. But, you know, it started with Herbie and I, and, you know, just slowly formed like that.